a man is in custody this morning following a terrifying incident in which two Gardaí were shot and injured in Dublin's Blanchardstown. It's believed the Gardaí had called to the house when shots were fired at them. The scene was then sealed off while officers from the emergency response unit and experienced negotiators were brought in. The man surrendered peacefully sometime after 9 o'clock. Our crime correspondent Paul Reynolds joins us now on the line. Paul, will you bring us through the evening's events? What happened?
Yeah, Rachel, this began shortly after 7 o'clock last night. The Gardaí received a report that shots had been fired in the Whitechapel estate in Blanchardstown in West Dublin. They responded, among them two armed detectives. When they arrived in the area, they were fired on. Shots hit the patrol car. The Gardaí said they got out of the car, they took cover, there was an exchange of gunfire. Both Gardaí were shot and injured. The shots came from a house in Whitechapel Grove. The Gardaí say a man was firing shots at them from an upstairs bedroom. The area was sealed off with an immediate cordon around the house and then a subsequent outside larger cordon, cordoning off the larger area. The Gardaí say they put in place their critical incident response. This was now a barricade incident with an armed man in a house. An operational commander was appointed. The emergency response unit, armed support units, officers from the National Negotiators Unit arrived. The negotiators began a dialogue with the armed man and spoke to him for more than 2 hours. At around 9:30, the man agreed to surrender his weapons and two loaded firearms were thrown out the window of the house, a revolver and a machine pistol. Shortly afterwards, a man appeared at the front door of the house. He was topless with his hands up. He walked down the driveway to the street where he complied with the Garda requests to first go down on his knees, then on his stomach, keeping his hands up. He was handcuffed, arrested, taken to Blanchardstown Garda station where he remains in custody this morning.
How were the injured guards this morning?
We're told they're in hospital and that they're comfortable. When the Gardaí set up a protective cordon and when the shooting started, the Gardaí, one of them was shot in the hand and foot, the other one was shot in the foot. They couldn't move from where they were, even though they had been shot straight away until the cordon had been set up. And then Gardaí with shields arrived and they were able to escort them out while their colleagues carried the two men to ambulances a few hundred metres away. The injured Gardaí were treated at the scene. They were taken to Connolly Hospital. Their families were with them in hospital in the early hours of this morning. The Taoiseach, the Minister for Justice and the Garda Commissioner all paid tribute to their courage, wished them a rapid recovery. The Chief Superintendent in charge of the area, Chief Superintendent Finbar Murphy, spoke to us about the incident in the early hours of this morning.
Just in relation to our own members, I think tonight is a reminder to us how dangerous it is for our guards out there every day when they go to work and the job that they do. And I want to thank them on behalf of the organisation, but also on behalf of the community for their work and the work that they do and the danger that they put themselves in to make our community safe. And that is on behalf of myself, the community and the Garda Síochána. I say well done to them tonight. Everybody that responded tonight did a brilliant job.
And these people have families who are concerned about them?
And these people have families. They've gone to work today. Somebody had to make a phone call today to tell them this happened. It's real life. It's tough. But it's very, very important that the community appreciate the work that these guards are doing and the level of risk that they put themselves on a daily basis to protect society.
Paul, there was a media blackout in place for much of the evening. Why was that?
Yeah, this went on for over 3 hours. The Gardaí requested a news blackout. It was respected by all conventional national media for the 3 hours while the incident continued. This is to avoid any potential aggravation of the situation. There have been incidents in the past where people in situations like this may have heard media reports, particularly broadcast reports. So the Gardaí always ask in cases like this that the media not report anything. And the news blackout was respected by all conventional media, by the newspapers, by the broadcasters for over 3 hours last night. Not, however, by social media. Pictures, videos, speculation, some and also mistaken and wrong information began to appear soon afterwards and continued right up. It was only after the area was declared safe, the man was in custody, that the Gardaí then gave a press conference in the early hours this morning explaining what had happened.
I know at one stage there were reports on social media that a woman, possibly the man's mother, was also in the house.
Yeah, and they were discounted by the Gardaí at that press conference. They said there was nobody else in the house. There was only one man in the house while the incident took place.
Paul, all of this happened in the early evening, you know, an early summer's evening when kids are out playing in a busy suburban housing estate. It must have been pretty scary for people in the area.
Yeah, it was. And a lot of residents were asked to leave their homes, particularly people living in houses close to where the incident took place. And they weren't allowed back into their houses for over 3 hours. Some people who had come home from work or had come home were stopped at the cordon and prevented from going into their houses. We spoke to people in t-shirts, light clothes, who stood at the edge of the cordon for over 3 hours as it got colder and colder last night. There was also a group of about 50 or 60 local children, under 9s, under 10s and under 11s from the Mountview Boys and Girls Soccer Club at their regular Tuesday night session last night across the road from where the incident took place. When the shooting started, they heard the shots, and the parents and the mentors responded by taking those children to safety, first into the bushes and then into a local community hall. We spoke to some people who were out of their homes, and we spoke to some of the parents and mentors of that soccer club at the scene last night.
Just when we were out training, just heard all the shots, and it was a bit scary. We just got all the kids in as soon as we could, but scary.
You're with the Mountain View Club, are you? You're one of the trainers, are you?
No, with me someplace.
You're someplace, but you were there on the sideline at the time.
Yeah.
That must have been very shocking for you.
Well, yeah, we didn't know what the hell was happening, but scary.
And somebody said that you had to hide the kids in the bushes before you got them in the community centre?
Over in the corner there.
Just explain to us, yeah.
So we got them in there, and when it calmed down, just ran them all into the club, you know, so that's what happens.
And how are the kids?
Yeah, kept them busy inside with the football and that, so all ends well, you know, so.
And how many kids?
Oh, just loads of us. So there was a good few. There was training, you know, three or four different ages training, you know, so.
Yeah, you had under 9s, I think.
Yeah, under 9s and 11s, yeah.
So if you had four teams, you'd probably have about 60 or 70 kids.
Well, about 60, yeah, usually, yeah.
And how are you yourself after?
Still shaking.
I was worried about my daughter now, to be honest. She's in the house there on her own, so.
What age is she?
She's 22 now, but she's still my baby. So basically, I was just more worried about her, and my phone was dead, and the usual when you need her.
And have you been able to talk to her?
Yeah, she's just spoke to me there 2 minutes ago. So that's about it.
And she's okay, and you're okay?
Yeah.
Jeez, I don't think anything around here has happened like that for a long time. Like, you know, shocked when I heard the news, just came down to see what was going on, you know, and nothing, as I said, has happened around here for a long time like this, like, so just total shock, like, you know.
All I know, like, I left my room, went out to have a walk, see what was happening. Next thing I'm locked out, wondering, can I get home to have me snacks?
And so you've been out in a t-shirt, standing here for, what, 4 hours?
Yeah, it's a little past 7. It's like, I just came across the road to get my aunt, since like she was around here, since she can't get her car.
And were you frightened?
No, just normal thing.
You think this is a regular occurrence around here?
Regular enough that you're not bothered by it, but not so regular that you have to worry about it.
People in Whitechapel last night. Paul, what can you tell us about the man who's in custody?
Well, the man is well known to the Gardaí for his involvement in serious and organised crime in West Dublin for over 20 years. He first came to the Gardaí attention in his teens and in his 20s. Following the murder of the journalist Veronica Guerin in 1996, most of the established and major Dublin criminals fled the country to avoid CAB and the crackdown. This left a vacuum which was filled by younger, more volatile and dangerous criminals. It led to the emergence of a criminal gang in West Dublin in the late 90s who were known as the Westies. Now, two of their most senior members were subsequently murdered in Spain and their bodies later discovered buried under concrete in a car park. This man was involved with that criminal gang back then 20 years ago, and then the subsequent criminal gang that emerged. He's been before the courts on a number of occasions, has served time in prison. He's also a target of the Garda local and national units, but he's also a target for other organised criminal gangs and has survived a number of attacks on his life, including one where he was shot several times. He was recently served with a Garda information message warning him his life was in danger. He's been detained this morning under Section 30 of the Offences Against the State Act. He can be questioned for up to 3 days in Blanchardstown Garda Station.
Paul, thank you. Our crime correspondent, Paul Reynolds.